B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm gonna go jump the gun here. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hall of Famer, two times over, Mr. Jason Stark from The Athletic. Good morning, Jason.
Mark, I think that's the first time the phrase tropical Cooperstown has been
used. I was there once. I know it's not tropical, but it is usually pretty balmy Hall of Fame weekend. And now 1:30 Sunday, you're getting inducted, man. And look, I have admired your career from afar. It's been my absolute pleasure to be able to interview you over the last couple of weeks here at baseball season, last couple of months of baseball season. We're so appreciative for you to come on with us, especially when you got everything going on up there. But I'm told you have, what, 100 people up there to support you?
I will. First of all, just for the record, my ceremony is actually 4:30 on Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
They honor the writer and the broadcaster separately now in their own ceremony. So by 4:30 Saturday, I'll be looking out into the expanse of beautiful double day field. And I mean, just about everybody that I've ever known in my life will be sitting in front of me.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy, man. It really is.
That's all. Jason, I want to go back to the beginning here, because I know there's people listening. I was a kid listening to sports talk radio in Philadelphia and reading the articles and all that stuff, a lot of them from you. If you could talk to the kids right now that want to get into this business, they want to be a writer, what advice would you give someone who wants to be a sports writer?
You know, I tell this story all the time, because I'm not one of those kids that wanted to grow up and be a baseball player. I grew up wanting to be a baseball writer. I mean, honestly, from the time I was 10 years old, that's what I wanted to be. And it's crazy to me that I literally lived that dream. I lived the life that I dreamed of from the time I was old enough to dream anything. And I would just wish that for anybody out there who can dream those kinds of dreams. The world has changed. The media business has changed. The places you write and the way you write and what you write about, all of that has changed. But those dreams still come true. And I mean, I can just tell you that what I tell kids all the time who want to do this is, you know, pick out those writers or those broadcasters or those morning talk show hosts that you most love, and don't just read them, listen to them, watch them. You need to study them and try to figure out what makes them so good at what they do. Why do you enjoy their work so much? You know, when I was trying to become a baseball writer, I read all the great sports writers in Philadelphia. I also studied a guy named Peter Gammons, and I tell Peter all the time, he made my entire life possible, because everything I did, he did it first and better.
Everything?
That's absolutely incredible. And maybe you can help us with something here. So the Hall of Fame ceremony for the writers, broadcasters, that's getting moved up. That's going to be on Saturday, you said, 4:30?
It's Saturday at 4:30 for anyone who is planning a trip to Cooperstown. I'd love to look out into the stands and see a lot of red shirts and familiar faces. It's then going to be aired on TV on Sunday morning, I believe it is, between 11 and 12, my speech. I'm sure you can find it somewhere on YouTube. I think it's on MLB.com, streaming. If you want to stop everything you're doing Saturday and watch my speech, I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
Of course. But now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard conflicting reports that writers that writers are now getting busts and plaques in the Hall of Fame. So we want to know, are you going in with a mustache or not a mustache? You answer the question.
You know, this is funny. This keeps coming up. My son asked me that yesterday.
Are you serious?
There is no bust. There is no plaque. There will be a photo. I should really try to maintain the suspense level, shouldn't I? Whether there's a mustache in the photo.
No, you're going to tease us. You're going to tease us, Jason.
All right, I'll tell you. There's no mustache. And I don't... Since it's Thursday, I don't think I have time to grow one between now and Saturday.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, Jason. You might have that capability. Now, you're going in. Go ahead.
It is incredible, all the people who believe that my mustache was actually my finest career achievement. Might be right.
You're Jason, you're the best.
Is there a mustache Hall of Fame?
If there is, Jason's a first ballot. Jason's a first ballot. Jason, I have to ask you this because you're going in with an incredible class. One of them, obviously, we know near and dear, and I want to talk about him in a second, and Roy Halladay, but Edgar Martinez had one of the most incredible training regimens I've ever seen of any athlete ever. And I teased this before the break. He would write numbers on tennis balls. Trey, did you know about this?
Yeah.
And he would put him in the pitching machine and just stand there and just go 7, boom, 6, boom, 2, boom. That guy had the most, like Ted Williams had incredible eyes, was known for that. Edgar Martinez is right there.
So true. And, you know, I bet if you did a study of the greatest hitters who ever lived, they'd have the greatest vision of any athlete who ever played anything. Because, you know, we talk about hand-eye and bat-to-ball skill. Where does that come from? The ability to read pitches out of a pitcher's hand is one of the fundamental keys to being a great hitter. I think the genius of the Edgar was it felt like he was never fooled. Why was that? You know, you only have a fraction of a second decide whether to swing or not. You only have a fraction of a second to recognize what kind of pitch and what kind of spin you're seeing on the way to home plate. And Edgar just had that amazing gift to recognize and to read that the greatest hitters have. I wrote a book once upon a time about the most overrated and underrated players of all time, and Edgar was my most underrated DH of all time. By getting into the Hall of Fame, does he lose the underrated thing?
No, if anything, you're now championing his cause. 418 career on base percentage for Edgar Martinez. I want to move on here real quick and talk a little bit about Roy Halladay and the story. We actually just talked about this with Mariano Rivera, the ball going into the Hall of Fame, or at least being on display, that Mariano Rivera gave Roy Halladay to show him the grip of his cutter.
Yeah, Tyler Kepner posted a photo of this ball on Twitter. Really look it up, and saw Tyler yesterday. Actually went to dinner with him last night, and we were talking about this. It's an incredible story. The Yankees actually fined Mariano Rivera for teaching Roy Halladay how to throw that pitch.
how do you fine him? What do you fine a guy for that?
It was a kangaroo court, so I'm guessing, you know, he didn't need to go into Chapter 11. But here's the story. Mariano Rivera teaches Roy Halladay his signature pitch, the cutter. And it really helped change Halladay's whole career, because what made Halladay so unhittable was, and I just talked about hitters trying to read the pitch. All right, here came a pitch that you knew was going to sink, but you didn't know if it was going to be that two-seamer that was going to break towards you as a right-handed hitter, or that cutter that was going to break away from you as a right-handed hitter. It didn't happen until so close to home plate. So here was this pitch that came out of the same plane, looked exactly the same to the hitter, but could break in two dramatically different ways. So once Roy Halladay learned that pitch, he was a different guy. And once he learned it, he wanted to make sure that he never lost it. So he traced the grip on a baseball, and he stuffed that baseball in his equipment bag, and he carried it with him everywhere. And now that ball is going to be on display in the Hall of Fame. It's an amazing artifact.
Yeah, that's incredible. One more I want to ask you about that I'm going to say. You're going in with it, Hall of Famer
that's
Jason
right.
Stark. The other one is Mike Mussina. One of the craziest things, in an era where guys would still regularly win 20 games, right? Mike Mussina didn't win 20 games until his 18th season, his 18th and final season in his MLB career. He had, talk about under the radar, underrated type guys. I think he's one of them.
Absolutely. And it took him way too long to actually get into the Hall of Fame. He retired 11 years ago. You know, I think he's a testament to just consistent greatness. If you're going to ask me, what's the greatest long-term free agent contract to any pitcher ever? I'm going to say it's him. When he signed with the Yankees, it was, let me see here, 8-year deal with an option. So he was there for 9 years. Every one of them, double-digit wins, winning record, consistent excellence. It's just, you know, look, you're watching the Phillies now, and you know that consistency, dependability, reliability is one of the most important qualities in sports, in life for that matter. And that was Mike Mussina. You could depend on that guy. And, you know, Tyler made an incredible point about him in his book and in a presentation that he gave at the Hall of Fame yesterday, which is Mike Mussina won more than half his starts. Is any pitcher ever going to do that again in an age where pitcher wins are so devalued and, you know, pitchers are taken out of the game in the fifth inning, sixth inning? You might not ever see that again.
No, I don't think you will. That's incredible. And also, I mean, are we going to see a career over 18 years where you make at least 25 starts a season in every year you play?
Exactly. You know, that ability to just take the ball, that's another one of those qualities.
Yeah, man.
Just completely undervalued, more now than ever.
Jason, who is the next person to get inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame whose name will have been attached to the Philadelphia Phillies? Now it's looking into the future.
That's a really good question. You know, I think we're going to have a spirited debate about Utley and Rollins. Cole Hamill's still playing; it's not out of the question. I personally think that Jimmy Rollins has a slightly better case than Chase. I think there are a lot of people who disagree. They both should be on the ballot for a long time, and you never know what might happen. Perspectives change in that 10-year journey on the ballot, but you know, it's certainly possible that the 2008 Phillies are going to be one of those rare World Series teams that has no Hall of Famers. And yet, they had this collection of the greatest players in the history of their franchise, which has existed since the 19th century. It's really strange, isn't it?
Say Rollins goes in.
Here's my question. Not that I'm a me guy on this particular topic, but who's the next guy who's going to go into the Hall of Fame who's got his own hamburger? Right? I had that happen to me this week.
Really?
Well, yeah, Paulie's in New York named a burger after me, and in the spirit of Philadelphia, it's a burger stuffed with a cheesesteak.
Get the
wow!
Wait, so it's a burger, but like, is the cheesesteak roll in it as well? Is it two rolls? What's the deal?
There's not two rolls.
Okay, just making sure. I don't
just
know.
Just the steak. Part.
I've seen donuts that are used for cheeseburgers.
Yeah, it's the I haven't personally eaten one because I've been in Cooperstown all week,
right.
But I am aware of two people who have eaten it, who they're both related to me, by the way, and they both live.
Oh, there you go.
Is it the Stark Burger?
It's a Jason Stark Hall of Fame Burger.
Oh, nice.
Last thing for you, Jason. I know you've been busy in Cooperstown and all that stuff, but I just have to know your opinion. If you think in 2 weeks the Phillies will be buyers or sellers, where do you see them going?
You know, I don't know that they're going to be traditional buyers, but I'd be shocked if they didn't attempt to do some sort of buying. But the trading deadline, I think the way modern front offices view it has really changed. The trading deadline is a shopping opportunity, and those opportunities don't come around all year long. You know, there are guys that they can trade for right now who can help them beyond this year. Why would they not attempt to shop for those guys? You know, like I don't know where Matthew Boyd's going or whether the Phillies can meet the price, but that's just an example of a pitcher who is getting better, who's got multiple swing and miss pitches, who's under control for more than 3 years. And if he's available now, you know, you got to take your shopping cart and wheel your cart down the aisle of that supermarket. So I'd really be surprised if they do nothing, but I don't see them selling.
Gotcha.
I don't think they're built to sell.
All right. Jason Stark, the Hall of Famer, both Philadelphia Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame, and also Cooperstown, New York Baseball Hall of Fame. Jason, thank you so much for coming on with us, and couldn't be happier for you, man. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Really a pleasure to share this with you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.